I'm very, very proud to welcome our new Lord Mayor. Well, not you as such, but Lord Mayor of Dublin for 2014-15, Christy Bourke. Hello, Christy, how are you?
Not too bad, good afternoon.
It's okay me calling you Christy.
Oh, no problem.
Because I've seen you with the allotments.
No problem.
Just talking to you. How has it been? I'll ask you for the pluses and the minuses to the job that when you've seen it from a distance before you went into it. So, yeah, everyone has a picture in their mind. So what's the plus and the minuses when you actually dive in?
Well, first of all, it's an honour and a privilege to be first citizen and to be elected by your 62 colleagues of Dublin City Council to be the first citizen, mm-hmm. Lord Mayor of Dublin. But from the time you move in, move into the Mansion House that evening, the day you walk into the Mansion House, your life is transformed with the demands and the engagements of Lord Mayor and your role of Lord Mayor for the city. And I would not be complaining about it. I think it's a great honour and a great privilege. I've had 1 half day off in 7 and a half weeks, so that will tell you.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it because I love doing engagements. I love meeting people. You do everything from sports groups to presentations to meeting ambassadors to meeting taxi men and women. To meeting people who represent people with disabilities, homelessness, housing, job creation, you name all of that. The down part of it was the Mr. Garth Brooks, mm-hmm. who took over my life for 10 solid days, mm-hmm. and many more men and women's lives, in trying to persuade them to come to Dublin and trying to enter into negotiations to get that right, mm-hmm. for the benefit of the fans and the benefit of the economy. That failed, as we all know, and mm-hmm. it's best left parked.
Yeah.
That was the part that you can never legislate for something going wrong.
Okay.
But outside of that, I think it's just brilliant. Like, I'm on my way to Ballybock after this. Yesterday morning, 9 o'clock, I was up in Temple Oak, up in the Zamba soccer tournament, where there was 500 kids from the north in our city, mm-hmm. with their parents, young kids, young boys, young girls, all entering and engaging in a day of soccer events.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday night, we were presenting trophies in the north in our city. It goes on, and it's great.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go into the Garth Brooks thing.
No,
but that's
thanks.
Been done to death,
yeah.
because I'm sure
yeah,
people,
yeah,
if you hear his name, I'd be afraid he might turn me off. But as you said, nobody knows what they're going into. So are there some things that maybe you said in the first week that you might regret? Because, I mean, I find that, can you not just say to someone, now look, I'm a human being here, give me a break, but I know the protocol has to be adhered to. But at the same time, listen, let's cut down on the, because I want to give, a proper adherence to what I'm doing, and I need a rest and all that sort of carry on. So, I mean, you have to follow the protocol to the letter.
You follow it to the letter, but you try and look, when you're in this game, you know that, you know, okay, it's not 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that in the territory, so therefore you put yourself forward. So, you know, you're engaging with people. It is pressuring, there's no doubt.
Yes, yeah.
But again, I would be in no way complaining. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. It is time consuming. It is a 7-day-a-week gig. That's why it's only for a year, mm-hmm. because you wouldn't last any longer. And again, it comes back to, there's a need for a directly elected mayor rather than a ceremonial mayor. A ceremonial mayor is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Directly elected mayor, you have access and funding for police and for traffic.
How do you feel about that?
I am number one in a directly elected mayor. I have moved that along with the late, great Tony Gregory for 15 years.
Okay.
That this should be a people's choice. Not the choice of major parties who remained running the show for years as mayors and Lord Mayors and Dublin City Council and further afield. The people should have the right to vote for he or she as their chosen first citizen. A mayor with authority, a mayor with funding, a mayor with a staff, and a mayor to get the job done. That's a must.
Well, I'd spoken to a few people, and people often say, what's on Tuesday? And all night when I mentioned your name, someone said, he's one of the good guys. So that's a great, that's the best
compliment. Thanks very
much. That's when you think about things, the way things are today, especially with court yesterday, but we won't go into that.
No.
But when you think about that, it's a wonderful, wonderful compliment. And I mean, you're your own man, even though, I mean, the powers you say are restricted. But the question I was getting back to earlier on, you said a lot of things when you got in the first week.
Yep.
To do with the homeless and all like that. Do you regret that, not knowing what was coming ahead?
No, I did not regret it, because I still do the homeless runs on a Wednesday and Thursday nights.
Okay.
And that was sacred. When I became elected, that was never going to be touched. The only time that'll be touched is if I'm out of the country and I can't attend the homeless run. I was out last Thursday night in the streets of Dublin till 3, 4am.
But I mean, coming into the Mansion House and that and staying there and that.
I'm not staying in the Mansion House.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm just saying, a lot of things, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't regret. What I said was I tackled three things.
Yeah.
Homelessness, housing, statue for Lew Kelly, and to deal with people with disabilities who may be waiting for an extension or a handrail. It's ridiculous the length of time people have to wait. Okay. That needs to be speeded. The homeless situation, I'm glad to say, there was 80 beds allocated into the system since I became elected. There's 400 units going to be put back into housing stock by the end of the year by DCC. There was 39 units last week allocated in Clare Hall. It's an ongoing process. I meet regularly once, twice a week with the managers of homelessness and housing. The housing crisis will always remain, and it'll remain because we don't have a fixed rent. We have a low ebb of a rent allowance, and therefore people can't match it with funding because people are unemployed, they've lost their jobs.
So as well as doing all your running around, Christy, do you have to make representations for all these people as well?
Absolutely.
On top of everything else?
Absolutely. On my way here this morning, I dealt with 3 housing cases. Yesterday, I dealt with 12 housing cases. 2 of them were homeless. I've no doubt before the day is out this evening, I'll deal with 10 more.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the nature, and you try and do your best. The reality is this. The supply in housing is not there to meet the demand. There's 20 people a day nearly becoming onto the housing register, and there's probably 4 and 5 people a day reporting to homeless services in Parkgate Street. Mm-hmm. That is the reality.
Okay.
That is, and it's a, you know, there's a very thin line with having a home and homelessness. And I hear people saying, but you shouldn't get this and you shouldn't get that. They're human beings, and their proclamation states quite clearly, treat all men and women equally, and children. And I try and adhere to that. I don't live in a world of hypocrisy. I try and live in a world of, you know, never look down on anybody except when you're going to help them up.
Okay, so you've sort of carried on the work. So does this mean to an extent you have to neglect your constituents around you? And I know you get the support from all the time, but they understand, obviously.
They do, and any chance I get, I'm with my constituents. Like in the next half hour, I'll be in Ballybuck with them. Next Saturday morning, I'll be doing door-to-door in parts of my constituency doing a thank you drop for electing me in June, in May. So, yeah, I do return every single call. I may miss it, but I return every call and I will respond to every email, even if it's to say thank you. Now, sometimes you get a crank who'll say, that's a throwaway reply. Mm. Now, if I don't reply, it's, well, he never responded.
Yes, yeah.
And if I do reply, it's a throwaway. But it's, listen, to acknowledge somebody or some person is most important in my life, as far as that's the dignity and integrity of being a public representative, to respond to people.
As well as the slights you might get. I mean, you've had quite a few. I mean, one of the things we want to talk about was your comment on you'd walk down Dublin city centre and around at 12 o'clock at night, and there's been a few slights in the paper about that. Yeah. So you still feel the same about that, don't you?
And I'd invite Michael O'Toole to meet me, and I'd walk down O'Connell Street with him any night at 12 o'clock. Oh. You know, it's either put up or shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, but you really feel like that, though?
I do, yeah. I do. I mean, you know, you'll meet people. I was in...
They had a programme on RTE. Did you watch that, the hour?
I caught the end of it because I was caught up in Lord Mayor's engagement. Yeah. I was in Turles on Sunday after the Dublin game, and there was a traffic jam, and there was young fellas and young ones, and they were out in the street, and they cans of beer, and they were roaring and shouting and the whole lot. But I got out of the car and I walked down to Hayes's, where the GAA was founded and formed, and I went in and I had a bottle of 7-Up and I came back out and I didn't feel intimidated. Mm. There are people feel intimidated when they see groups, and that's quite understandable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite understandable in any city. But you ask the question to yourself, how many people per year walk down O'Connell Street? Millions.
Millions, yeah.
How many end up being injured?
Well, I was only reading a survey last night.
There you go.
What was it? Spain.
2%?
No, I don't know the percentages now, but I know Spain, Italy, and Portugal. They were around the 3/4 where you were most likely to be, you know, something to be mugged or robbed or whatever it may be. And I actually, when I read it, I said, I wonder where we are on the list.
Yeah.
So there we go.
That's lower than that. Plus, look, I could walk down O'Connell Street and get hammered tonight. I don't know.
Yeah.
But or get mugged or whatever. But most times that I walk down O'Connell Street, I've never had anyone, apart from someone might be saying, would you have the price for a cup of tea, and I go in and buy one. But nobody ever got around me and ganged me and mugged me or gagged me. So, you know, if Michael O'Toole wants to meet me, I'll tell you what you should do. Come out to Homeless Rumblers any Wednesday or Thursday night. We do all the main stretches.
Okay.
Harcourt Street, Camden Street, to Stevens Green, Grafton Street.
Well, as well as other things, I mean, I've had a lot of people, and you'd remember the 80s and the late 70s, it was pretty, pretty tough in Dublin.
Yeah.
And yet, if you walked around, people from the year of the 40s and 50s and 60s, we hadn't got very much in Ireland, okay? But we had hospitals on every corner. And all that, and we had very little homelessness as well. Do you feel sad when you look at the 21st century?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at housing, homelessness, and people losing their homes and losing their jobs, and people who are in pretty okay jobs and had a mortgage, and next thing the banks has taken it off them, they're torturing them on the phone, they're emailing them, they're bringing them up on mobiles. It's intimidation at its best. You look at immigration of young people, young men and women who have brains and have been educated.
That's always been like that.
It's always been that way. And what happened with us was that the demands, the false economy of the 90s, where the banks was throwing money at people and people were grabbing it and buying homes and next negative equity, and that was the lead balloon. That's where everyone went down, including members of my own family, I'm sure of your own, and everyone that's listening.
Yes, yeah.
And that was the sad thing. There was nobody there to say stop. There was nobody to say, hold on, there's a health warning here, caution, don't go for the 300 grand, you will be left,
but
just
not
going to last.
Yeah, but do you not think a lot of successive governments going back that time?
Absolutely.
I mean, I was only talking to someone about the trams here and the lack of foresight. Someone, because he didn't like trams, he took trams off.
And now we're putting it back in.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. So it's successive governments. And when you were a young man, obviously, the passion I can feel in you and for the people, you wanted to change things. Do you feel you have over the years?
Well, I feel like I made representation for people, some people's lives to change for the better. Like, you had street traders who used to be arrested and imprisoned in Mountjoy for selling apples and oranges. That became regularised. You had flat complexes in the inner city, and believe me, there are still some that needs to be refurbished and redone, where they were knocked down, demolished, and people got decent homes. There was the recognition of community groups in our area that now got recognition of the City Council and of various governments. You had projects set up of jobs initiatives in the late 80s and 90s where a number of people were employed who had never been, would have never been employed. Mm. You had recognition of addiction services where facilities, not all great, there's lots more to be done, but at least there's a recognition, there's programmes out there. There's many, many other areas of life. You know, there's small businesses who pay high rates. There are small little hairdressing saloons that's trying to struggle. There is men and women out there driving taxis who are trying to make a living. All of that became regulated, and then it became most difficult. What happened was, I think, we went into an area of bureaucracy, and the bureaucrats were saying, the civil servants mainly, you can't do this, you can't do that. And we're so used to hearing that as politicians. Someone has to say, hold on, you can try and do
that.
Are
you not surprised to us as a nation that we're not kicking back though? Well, that's one thing that surprises a lot of people, that we're saying, we're the fighting Irish.
Well, you see, the Irish have a habit of maybe, okay, we're tired and we fought in drugs campaigns, we fought for tax benefits, tax relief, tax reform, unemployment. We did all that, but our greatest weapon is the ballot box. And that was proven last May. Mm-hmm. And I've no doubt it'll be proven in the next 12 months.
Okay, but I mean, the way things, some things change, but some things always stay the same. I know you're in a hurry, but I have to ask you, okay, because it came in before you even arrived, and it was about, and I've heard people talking about it actually, it's about the graffiti on the increase, and we're talking about not only in the city but in the suburbs as far as out here, Raheny, Coolock and all that. Is there anything you planned or
well, there's a graffiti section there and there's funding there to deal with it, maybe not enough to deal with the extent that it's been graffiti, but I've no problem with graffiti if it's done in an artistic way and it enhances an area.
No. What I've seen is just, I mean, just name scrawled, you know.
It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's as equally as disgusting as it is the illegal dumping in our city. And that, we all know, is disgusting. So refrain from the graffiti. You're destroying your own area and you're adding misery to an area where, you know, people, volunteerism in areas is great, where people do their best and they try to keep their areas clean and enhanced, and you get someone coming along with a spray paint and it doesn't serve any purpose.
Yeah, I've just seen, I mean, down the, if you're going down the Malahide Road there on the right, you'll see quite a lot of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're asking people to stop doing it, but is there, will there be any funding, you think, if it gets on the increase and gets any worse? Well, I'm not trying to give you any more.
I know, look, I'll have to say to the City Council, if a public rep or a community rep gets on and says, look, it's in a place that's a nicer, they do go out and do it.
Okay.
Now, they may not be doing it in every area, but I know if I get on about areas in the inner city or my constituency, or indeed someone got on to me in the last couple of weeks about a particular area I won't mention, and I got on to the section and they done it, the public domain section, they done it.
Mm-hmm.
But look, if it's on the increase, then it's another area you have to look at funding-wise.
Okay, you're looking forward to the rest of the time anyway?
Yeah, I'm looking forward. It's a day at a time. No 2 days are the same. And I do, again, you know, I'm you know, to engage with the citizens of Dublin and to be the first citizen.
If it came up that it was a fully-fledged elected mayor, would you put your hat in the ring again?
Oh, let's just try and hang on to the day.
Okay, listen, I'm not saying it was said to me before you came in, you're one of the good guys, and it's been great pleasure.
That's a great compliment,
Christie. Thank you.
And thanks, Gilmore. Good McCarthy.
I mean, I said to Christie, what's the protocol here? I have to keep saying the Lord. He says, nah, just call me Christie. So there you go. Thank
good
you.
Good on you, Gilmore. Good slant.
Thank you. Bye.